Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to another edition of Productive News Weekly. My name is Daryl Clark, and yes, you're at the right place at the right time. Thank you for taking the time out again to tune in to Productive News Weekly, where we bring you news and information that's called, gathered, and presented from around the globe, most typically within the United States, but we do cross the borders from time to time. It's news you can use. It's news for you, by you, and of you. It's news intended to encourage you and inspire you, encourage you again through empowerment, and to enlighten you and instill you to get involved and make a difference for you, your loved ones, and the universe. And so this evening, we have another program with all those ideals in mind. For those of you who are on our mail list or you have an idea of, well, who our guest is for this evening, and, well, we certainly hope you'll sit back and buckle up, so to speak, because it's going to be hard-hitting. And it's going to certainly be enlightening. And again, all of those ideals that we do subscribe to. We'll start this evening with our, well, numbers and cents segment. And that's just the segment where we bring you information through numbers, logic, truth, and common sense. You see, that is truly what we are about, truth, logic, and common sense. And so I'm just going to bring up one that, well, we've used before related to African Americans, because there's so much race baiting going on with regard to African Americans and blacks especially. And I'm being specific here for a reason. And because there are those in mainstream that would have you believe that we're back in the KKK days in terms of racism. And I would counter that. And I would say it's race baiting, mainly for political and business purposes. You see, more blacks are killed, and the magic number here is, or number and sense, is 50. 50 is our number this evening. More blacks are killed by other blacks in 1 year than were killed in 50 years by the KKK. Don't believe that, probably, right? Look it up. Check your computer, folks. So you see, we need to put things in perspective and be careful of the race baiting, especially with those who, for reasons, would have you believe that anything associated with whites, and we got the CRT in their schools and the like, and you got those and in mainstream, and I'm speaking specifically of blacks who are part of that race baiting piece, that would have you focus on that rather than focus on you and your children being economically empowered and getting a better education, with our school system being one of the worst in the entire world collectively, which is where our attention really should be. So that's our numbers and cents segment for this evening. With that, we're going to go right into our program this evening, which we have sort of in the wings, our special guest. Before I do that, though, I do want to let folks know, for those who have been tuning in the last couple of weeks where we've been doing our ongoing segment on vaccine information, and we had Dr. Christina Parks in an interview laying out hard-hitting facts about the vaccine from a doctor perspective. Just to let folks know that the Dr. Fauci is not the all in all. There are hundreds of PhDs and medical doctors who dispute a lot of what if not most, what he was saying about that. So go back to the archive at blogtalkradio.com, and you'll want to really tune in to those interviews. We have one more that we'll be doing, hopefully, I believe, next week to complete the series, because it was a series of interviews with her. And this sister is serious, microbiologist, professor at Michigan University, sharp as sharp gets. So with that said, those are in the archives, and we'll be giving you the last of the three live episodes of that interview next week. So with that said, without further ado, we want to bring to you this evening, for those of you who are not aware who our guest is, it's Dr. Glenn Mendoza, also respectfully referred to as Master Glenn. Master Glenn is one of a few, literally a handful of master pranic healers in the world. And we're going to get into some of that conversation, some of that discourse this evening about Master Glenn. So we'll talk more about that. He's also an astrology and astronomy expert and also a specialist in meditation. So we're going to be touching base on all of those, because this weekend we have a full moon coming up, and we're going to be talking about that in this interview as well. So hold on. We're going to really get into this conversation. And as I like to say, uncommon discourse in a very short time. So see if Dr. Mendoza is in studio with us. Let me just check with you. And
Dr. Glenn Mendoza.
We did not get your message, either because you were not speaking or because of a bad connection. To disconnect, press 1. To record your message, press 2.
All right, I am back. We're trying to reach Master Glenn, Dr. Glenn Mendoza. As many of you know, he's sometimes very hard to reach because he travels around the world. The last couple of weeks, he's been in Jerusalem, Bangladesh, I believe. So he is in transit, but we are going to try to continue to reach Dr. Mendoza in the next few minutes, and hopefully we can make that connection, because he certainly has some very enlightening information for you that I know you're going to find helpful for you and your loved ones, that will inspire you, I believe, and encourage you to be more productive in your life and your loved ones' lives. So we will continue to try to reach him. In the background, so to speak, if Cecil, my producer, is here to help with that effort, you know, we don't give up. So we're going to continue throughout the evening to reach out to Master Glenn. Let's see if we can just catch him. That bumper tune, by the way, was Grover Washington. The name of that particular cut is Strawberry Moon. For those of you who are, well, not Grover Washington buffs, in fact, we're going to do a replay on that while we reach back to Master Glenn. Again, this is Strawberry Moon by Grover Washington. Thank you. another rotation, so to speak, of Strawberry Moon. We have not yet been able to confirm with Master Glenn, so I'm not sure, what's going on with the connection. This is not so totally unusual, I'll say, especially when we have such a hard hitting.
We are back. Well, we are truly having serious difficulties. It does not look like we're going to have Master Glenn, and I was looking so forward to this conversation as we have a full moon coming up this weekend, in fact. All right, so just when you think nothing's happening, it happens. And I was just able to reach Master Glenn. So, folks, here we go. Master Glenn will be one of the next voices that you hear after my brief intro. All right, here we go. A little bit more Strawberry Moon in the meantime. All right. Well, welcome back. We were able to connect with Dr. Glenn Mendoza, Master Glenn, respectfully known as around the world. Well, simply because he's one of a few, literally a handful of master pranic healers around the world. And as I've mentioned to you earlier this evening, as we were trying to connect with Master Glenn, and of course we know, especially my regular listeners, very busy man. We're just honored and grateful when he's able to take the time to join us. This evening is a very, very special interview. I'm looking so forward to, because we have so much to share with you about, well, this moon that we're under now, the full moon of Gemini, some of its attributes. We're going to talk a little bit about pranic healing that I think you'll find very, very enlightening for those of you who are very curious about this modality, one of the fastest growing in the world of pranic healing. So hold on. The next voice that you hear will be that of Master Glenn, Dr. Glenn Mendoza, a medical doctor who specializes in neonatal, perinatal medicine, master pranic healer, author, meditation, astrology, astronomy specialist and expert. And so in studio, I see he is with us now. Master Glenn, Dr. Mendoza, you with us?
Yes. Hi, Daryl. How are you?
Oh, great, great. So good to hear your voice. You have been doing so much. You're so busy. So just grateful that you're able to take some time, and especially during this very auspicious, as you often say, time of the year with so much going on. So I want to get right into the interview. We have a full moon coming up, which often you so graciously join us during that time period. But this is a special full moon, as you were telling us back in April, I believe. We were just about to enter into the Wesak time period. But you had mentioned then that there were three major full moon periods. So let's start with that. But I want to hand the microphone over to you. And just let you kind of talk a little bit, if you would, about yourself and get us into this interview.
Hi. What Daryl was saying about the full moon, there is three powerful full moons of the year, starting in April and ending in May or June. This is actually the what we call the full moon of Gemini, which will be actually this weekend. So the full moon of Gemini is actually, for those of you who are new, there are 12 signs, astrological signs, and each one almost overlapping with each month. It's not actually from the 1st to the 31st because it's a lunar calendar, so it depends on the movement of the moon in actually. So what happened was that the Gemini are those from May 20 to June 21. So those are the Gemini is from actually May 21 to June 21 this year. So what is important about this? What happened was that they noticed that usually the energy of the full moon is very strong. The energy of the full moon is very strong, so if people take advantage of it, they could magnify stuff because the energy is actually magnified. So it will be actually on June 4. We'll have a meditation on June 4, which is this weekend on Sunday at 7 o'clock Eastern New York time. Why do we do this? We take advantage of the energy of the full moon itself and actually bless the earth, bless our projects, bless our loved ones, bless it out, because the energy is there. We're just sort of using ourselves as a channel of that energy, since it's strong. And go ahead.
Okay. For our new listeners, and many or most are not, but it's like a good movie. You always learn something the next time that you hear it or see it. In this case, hear it. You're talking about this extra energy that's associated with this particular moon, and this is one of three. Can you explain why this moon or this one of three, these three moons, have more energy? And when you are saying the terms energy, what do you mean by that? Is it the heat is from the sun, which of course is radiating off of the moon, which is why we get the full moon? I think most people understand that. Is it because it's closer to the earth, or is it some other type of energy that we're referring to? So if you could just talk about this energy piece.
It's interesting. Thank you. So what happened was that some people, or maybe in the olden times, they know that there's immense energy during this time, during the full moon. So they just gather and I recall they just utilize this energy. As we become a science and technology gives us more information, like what Daryl was saying, astronomically, they noticed that the celestial bodies, that means celestial bodies, the planets, the sun, and all this constellation actually emit some energy during this time. Combined both for the people who are sensitive, I'm just giving you a historical background, and combine it with the people with the science with it, we realize that during this time, the full moon, that means it's not the full moon that gives the energy during this time, but actually the energy of the sun is actually magnified. Why? Because during the full moon, just visualize three bodies, the earth in the middle, the sun on your left side, which is, I believe, 109 times the size of the earth, and the moon which is small on the opposite side. So you see a straight line there. So during the full moon, this is the configuration. So the energy of the sun is actually magnified through the sun. They notice now it's through the constellation of that specific area, like what I mentioned about Gemini, is magnified through our sun, filtered through our sun, and actually filtered through us. And that's the essence of the lunar phase during the moon when it's illuminated away from the Earth, from Earth's perspective. I hope that doesn't make more complicated.
No, that's very helpful. During a full moon, because there are three that have more energy, why those three? Is it the proximity of the moon to the Earth, or are these what they call supermoons also, or there's no necessarily correlation between a supermoon and the most three powerful moons?
No, the supermoon, you'll hear some supermoons. It happens. That means the supermoon is that the moon is actually very close to the Earth. So what happened was that, like in July 3, there'll be a supermoon. But why the first three important things? Why? Because they were saying was that originally, in the ancient calendar, they said the year starts on, for those of you who would probably know, the signs, the first sign is actually Aries. So they were saying the start of the astronomical year actually is Aries. But since we're having a Gregorian calendar, we start in January. So by and large, they were saying astronomically, it starts in Aries because Aries is the first sign. So they said the first three are very important because by and large, you start out with Aries, then peak during the May, which was last month. Aries will be actually what they call the festival of the resurrection. It's called also the festival. It's called the festival of Aries. The other one is festival of enlightenment or festival of the Buddha. So all of this they have named them, and the third one is actually they call it the festival of humanity, or what we call the festival of goodwill, or again festival of the Christ. Okay, why are those names? They realized was that it's related, but sometimes not related to religion, because they were saying was that in the distant future, we'll just have all holy days during the full moon, and it's recognized by most religion, because they realized that there's a strong energy during this time. That's basically it. The first three is actually the first three full moon. And after that, they're still powerful, but it will be, this is just what they call the spiritual festival.
Is the festival of humanity, goodwill, and Christ, is that coincide with one of the most powerful moons, such as the
yes.
The Wesak or the Gemini moon? Which one does
yes,
that coincide
yes,
with?
The festival of humanity is festival of Gemini.
So that's the one we're under now.
Yeah. That's the one we're celebrating now. This is it celebrates every year by most people who are aware of energy or cosmically recognize the relationship of humanity and human existence.
Hmm. So the Buddha is the second of the three. Is that the one that coincides with the Vesak?
Yes.
Enlightenment?
It's called the Festival of Enlightenment. The first one is actually, you remember, it's called the Festival of Resurrection. That's because this happened also on Easter. So during that time, Lord Jesus actually sort of resurrected, and it was that's what they called it. So this coming weekend, the full moon is actually the full moon of Gemini. They call it also the full festival of the Christ. Why Christ? Because Christ, there are different meanings of the Christ. The Christ, people relate Christ as the Lord Jesus Christ, but actually in some of these ancient teachings, they said Christ is also the position. It's a position. It's like the President of the United States is not President Biden. The President of the United States is a position, that it's whoever is there will be the President of the United States. So the Christ is actually a position that leads the inner spiritual government. That's what they were saying. So in honor of the Christ, that's what they respect. Fortunately, they said, some people say that the Lord Jesus Christ is actually sitting in the seat of the Christ now. When he starts to progress and develop, he has to leave. I don't know, they were saying for years already he'll leave, then another person, another spiritual being will take over. So that person will also be called a Christ. I think that's how I understood it.
Oh, wow, that's very interesting. So there's a religious aspect there. Because from a Christian...
I think
it's
not more of religious, but more of spiritual aspect. I think we look at it as religious, but actually it's a spiritual aspect, because they were saying was that there is a spiritual government also. Interestingly, we have a government here in the United States. There's a government in England. There's a government in each country being run. So to have it in the inner world, there must also be an inner spiritual government that is ruling the spiritual movement of humanity. And that's what they were saying.
Wow.
Does it make sense?
I understand.
Because what happened was that because we are stuck with our religious religious alignment. But in the inner world, there's no disparity. They're one. So the Indians, the Buddhists, the Jewish, the Muslim, the Christian, and the non-Christian, it has to be a spiritual government. This has to be order. Does it make sense?
You're saying one spiritual government over all of them.
Yeah,
all of them.
Yeah. They call them the ancients call them the hierarchy. That's what the words or what other words that they have. They have different name for it in different groups.
I've heard individuals use
men and women of goodwill are us, but the spiritual world are the ones they're running the inner spiritual government. Remember God, they were saying God is a mathematician. That means there has to be order. They said God is a mathematician, so if you look at it, but there'll be numbers, there'll be order from the planets all the way to the small things like an atom. They could be measured in their structure. You started
so,
it, Darryl.
You know, I've heard the term universal God. You know, in terms of all religions, there's one universal God, and that is the God which umbrellas all that is, and it sounds similar to what you're referring to. The fact that the Gemini astrological time period is related to the festival of Christ and humanity and goodwill versus the festival of Taurus or the festival of Aries. Does that mean that from the way that it's considered, that those other two are not under that umbrella, or it's just that that's the peak under which you have this aspect of Christ, goodwill, and humanity?
I think it's I have to go. There's a group named Lucy's Trust. They are based actually in 3 points. They're Geneva, London, and New York. They have, and they are the ones who actually sort of propagate through their teachings this actually full moon. And they're very, it's just interesting how they look at it from an astronomical level rather than sometimes the like we have a U.S. what's that naval astrological center, which is sometimes off by a few hours. Something I'm just above my pay grade, but they follow the same thing. And over the years, we've been doing the full moons, meditating during the full moon. I could recall for the past almost 25 years, almost every year. Actually, we've been doing it for the past 25 years, every month. We must have missed one or two, but it's not that we missed it. It's that we have a recording going on, but not live because of availability, but that's only one or two. So we've been practicing this full moon meditation all throughout.
And
you mentioned about universe. Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead. No, the universal. That's fine.
Remember, you said about the universal God. Like what you said, there's only one God. So, to the Christians, we call it God. For the Muslims, they call it Allah. I don't know, our friends who are non-Muslims, we thought that Allah is a Muslim God. No, Allah is translated in Islam as God. So the Jews also have Adonai, or they have Yahweh. So the Hindus have what they call Parabrahman. And the Buddhists have their own Adi Buddha, or the concept of the universal mind. So each religion has their own different name, but God is one and the same.
Oh boy! So you
wanted to make it a little more complicated. So just do you realize that how little we know? So this is how we see it from Earth. So we have one God, universal God, but actually you zoom out in the galaxy, they have also a galactic God. So this galactic God, if you do it also in the name of Christian, it's a galactic God. In Muslim, it's galactic Allah. And to the Hindus, it's galactic Parabrahman. And what happened is that you zoom out further on, you'll have the universal God, because there, we remember our understanding, Daryl, when we were in high school, that the biggest thing is the universe. Now we realize there are multiverses. So we have now, they realize there is a universal God, universal Allah, universal Parabrahman, and so on. And ultimately, there's only one God. And all of this God, as we understand him, are one. They are one. I am a Christian. I was raised a Catholic. We have Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I couldn't understand it, that there are one. There's one being, but there are three beings, one. So it's really complicated. That's why I said, if you want it to be complicated, how can all of this solar God, galactic God, universal God, and one supreme God want? Because they are all connected in some form. But in our mind, we cannot comprehend it. But be it as it may, they know that there's a big hand that is actually running the whole show, the one and only supreme or universal God.
Mm. Okay, so that was a great explanation of the power of the, the three full moons. And especially understanding that it's not necessarily that they're supermoons, because a supermoon, to make sure that everyone's on board, that means that they're larger typically by the human eye.
No, because they're closer to the Earth. That's why it's supermoon. Like on July 23, they'll be closer to the Earth. That's why they're bigger, so they call it supermoon. It doesn't mean... they're all full moons, but they're just closer. There's a technique to, because they're just, I don't know how many kilometers, how many miles, but they're much closer. So that's why they're big.
Okay, so they're closer to the moon, but it doesn't make them necessarily more powerful as compared to the Wisak or the Christ.
No.
That's a visual.
Yes. I like that, the Christ moon. I like it. I'll use that, the Christ moon.
Right. So the supermoon, not to get caught up in semantics, is not necessarily the most powerful moon of the year.
They said the most powerful is actually the Wesak.
The Wesak, okay.
The Wesak is just the most powerful because we realize... okay, so in my limited understanding, the Lord Buddha, being a very powerful spiritual being, is actually not influencing Earth already. Remember what I said? We thought that Christ, Lord Jesus, and Buddha are perfect. They may be perfect in our eyes, but in the eyes of the galactic God, the universal God, they're still young. So it's really complicated. So say for example, a person, like maybe a good example, let's say for simplicity, like the titular head of the Catholic Church is the Pope. Let's say he's a really highly developed spiritual person. When that Pope passes away, what happened to his energy, to his soul, to his spirit? Mm. So what happened was that he goes into another realm, and he goes to another realm. So we're given responsibility. You have to understand, these are explained by man. These are explained by ancient teachings. And what happened, the goal is evolution. So like us now, we're going to evolve also to that level. I don't know how long, but we will evolve to that level also, and there everybody's going to be elevated. That's just the nature of
existence. Again, different from, you know, the visual of the, you know, the size of the moon. There's a spiritual energy associated with the time period of Wesak.
Yes. Yes.
That supersedes any supermoon.
Yes, that they were saying was that why did I say that? Because some message from beyond our solar system is actually given to us. That's what they were saying.
Wow!
A certain
now you are getting deep.
Or is, I know. You started it and said, "Okay, let me talk about this."
No,
this,
let's go.
You have to understand. You have to understand this is my limited understanding also.
Mm-hmm. We appreciate that.
So you realize it's complex. It's what's the movie called? It's complicated.
Mm-hmm.
And what does that mean? What does that mean? For some people, they probably say, this is too much. I can't comprehend it. I thought there's only one God there. Okay, fine, let me hang up or something like that. But for some, because of, like you're saying, it is attracting enough because as you start to discuss this, there's tremendous amount of energy that we could comprehend or some people could understand or some people can feel. And they said, this must be real.
Wow. And that's over hundreds of years, if not thousands.
They call them ancients. You have to understand, in the olden times, they did not have Netflix. They didn't have light. They did not have radio, internet, cell phone. So at night, remember, at night, the entertainment is the sky. Think about that. The entertainment in the sky. There's one student of mine from Cyprus. He's Greek, but when I was in Cyprus, we look at the sky, and actually he could see, okay, this is Andromeda. This is Cassiopeia. This is the Ursa Major. He could see it. He could see it. I said, I don't see it. I told me they're just stars. So I said, imagine, and he's young, but when he looks at the stars, he could see the shape. Okay, this is actually, okay, this one, he expresses it. To me, they're just points of light, but for him, he could see the shape. So they were saying the ancients were actually seeing this. That's why they were the ones who shaped this mythical, ancient shapes of, from our point of view.
Okay. So let's talk a little bit about Gemini and astrology aspect of that. So we have this one of the most powerful moons. What is it? The third most powerful, correct? It's in line behind number one, Wesak, and then the resurrection moon of Aries, and then comes the Christ moon of Gemini. So we have this and Gemini full moon coming up this weekend. And with each of these, we've talked about these every month almost of the year, attributes that are associated with sun signs. I was talking with someone just yesterday, and I don't know, you gave me a statistic one year in the past about how many people are aware of astrology. It was amazing. It was like 9 out of 10 or 8, some large number. Most people have some idea of you know, whether they believe it or not, they are aware of astrology. And it was just yesterday I was talking with someone where I work, and it was a new person there, and they identified themselves with their sign versus their age or their religion. You know, I'm a Muslim, or I'm Jewish, or I'm Christian. You know, they say, well, I'm a Taurus. And it's so interesting that some people identify themselves with their sign before, you know, their heritage or lineage or race or creed. It's just interesting. So let's talk about Gemini.
So Gemini, we said for those who have been born on May 21 to June 21 every year, they are under the sign of Gemini. As Daryl mentioned, Gemini exudes, the full moon will exude the peak of this qualities or this energy of Gemini, which means that the energy of the energy that Gemini exudes will is in the what they call it, it's zeitgeist, or it's in the air. That's what zeitgeist means. It's everybody can feel who's sensitive enough. So the qualities of Gemini will be able to absorb also. At least that's the essence of that. So the positive qualities of Gemini, for those of you who are Gemini, Gemini are the twins. So some people say, they're two-faced. They have this good side and the negative side. Actually, there's a myth about the Gemini twins. There is, the twins is called Castor and Pollux. Castor and Pollux are actually identical twins, but the myth shows that they were different fathers. So they were born to a same mother, but different fathers. The Castor was born, the father was a king, while Pollux was the the son of Zeus, which is the god. So one is a son of a god, the son is a human. So the myth goes like, when they were dying, so one is human, one is immortal, one is immortal. So when Castor was dying, Pollux begged his father, I said, take me instead. Take me instead. I let my brother live. So I think Zeus was sort of touched so much that actually he said, because of that, I will bring you to eternal existence in the sky. So that's where we see the Gemini twins. So those went Gemini, think about it also, Gemini rules the throat. So people who are good in expression, whatever kind, maybe you you may have some Gemini in your chart, Daryl, although you're Cancer, because what happened was that people who are good in their voice, entertainer, good in writing, good in singing, expression of anything by their voice, are actually maybe Gemini. So they are actually, so the throat also is a sign of details. So people who are intelligent are detailed. So Gemini, in essence, have those kinds of qualities. They're good in communication. So look for a person who's in the celebrity world, actor, actress, they're very good. They have some Gemini influence.
So outgoing, would that be a word? Outgoing, would outgoing be a word associated then as a characteristic?
They want to be free. They want to be free also. They have they're intellectually hungry. They're intellectually hungry. Yes, outgoing could be a good word because a person who's intellectually curious, they are open to anything. That's another expression of that, outgoing or intellectually hungry. And they could be smart. They could be smart. They could be quick. They could something to do with the mind.
I would say the one
any, a communication or and communication.
Mm-hmm.
You have to understand. Although in our ways, it's that this is the general. This is the general qualities of a Gemini. But by and large, as we express it, you could be a Gemini. It could be expressed in different ways. Also, Gemini is in essence, Gemini is Mercury. I don't know if you know about that. Gemini or is ruled by Mercury or Hermes, which is the messenger of the god. So messenger means that they are used to communicate.
Mercury is
a planet. Yeah. So each one of this planet is actually the planets will rule some signs. So like Gemini is ruled by Mercury. It's like there are different ways of doing it. Like the influence of Mercury, the planet Mercury, is very strong influenced by Gemini. Again, going back to order, like Sun will talk next month. It will be your month.
Yeah.
The Cancer will be ruled by Moon. And in July, coming July, will be Leo. It will be ruled by Sun. So just to give everybody an idea that each one of the signs are actually ruled by a certain planet.
Or celestial body in the case of the moon. And
or
the
celestial.
Sun.
It becomes complicated now with what we know right now. It gets a little. I think in the future they will see other influential celestial body. I don't know if you know this. Before they have only the Sun, the Mercury, Venus, Earth, Venus, Mars, Jupiter, and Saturn. So they could only see up to Saturn by the visual eye. So they were saying was that, so all of these signs were ruled only by those six signs. But when the telescope came in, they didn't know what to do with the planet. So some of them, they sort of assigned a certain planet. Even up to now, they considered Pluto still as a planet, although on astronomy, they're just an exoplanet.
Yeah,
I'm just expressing what other people. So those are the qualities.
Mercury has, in and of itself, I've heard certain qualities. Is that communication that you're referring to as one of those qualities of Mercury?
Yes.
Hermes, you called it Hermes?
Hermes is actually Hermes is the Roman counterpart of Mercury.
Oh, so they go together.
Yeah. So you may have I gave me your chart, but I have a feeling it's in Roman mythology. Hermes is actually the god of messenger. He has wings on his feet, so he's the messenger of the gods. So that's a way of expressing Mercury, which is Latin.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I recall Mercury.
I think it must be Latin, or Mercury is probably Latin and Roman, and Greek is Hermes.
Yeah, I was wondering what those wings represented on the feet.
Yeah, those are actually, because they're the messenger, so they fly.
Yeah, the messenger. In order to be a messenger, you have to be a communicator. That makes sense. But you said, and Hermes is Greek. So the attributes that anyone can utilize of Gemini would be to be to utilize things that require very detail, focus, ability to express. If there are things that you have to present, perhaps this might be a good time to subscribe to some of those Gemini qualities, things that require intellect, that require a person
yes.
to be outgoing. This would be a time period to perhaps tap into those available energies.
Actually, you want to know something?
Hmm?
As we come close to the full moon, there's energy of that. Remember what qualities were you mentioning?
Yeah.
Focus, expression, communication. You could add analysis, analytical. Look what we've just talked about the past 50 minutes. They're so deep, but somehow it makes sense, but we cannot put everything together. That's a quality of Mercury.
That's true. That's so true.
We could have That's rejected excellent. It. This is woo-woo. I don't believe in it. But just because, there must be something in there.
Mm-hmm. And we were able to delve down in there.
Yeah, remember Shakespeare said, Horatio, there's more to it than what you see in the sky.
Hmm. This weekend, when you host the full moon meditation that you've been doing, 20-something years at least?
You're 25. We started in 1995. Although we've been doing it loosely from 94 to 95, but we were doing it loosely. That means every month we do it, but not formally like that kind of thing, small groups. But mid-1995, I said, let me do one good thing. I said, let me sponsor it. This we started in New York because I'm just trying to understand it. Then I just sponsored the place. I said, I can't do anything, but I will sponsor the hotel. Let's do it every time, something like that. So. So I did that, and later on I started doing it around late 1995. I don't know specific, because when you start a program, when did you start the program? Maybe you could know, but actually I don't know, you know. So the full moon will be actually on Saturday night at 11:42 p.m. But we just put it on June 4, so people will be easier to do that. Could have done it on Saturday. So what you're saying was that during this full moon, there'll be intense energy and we could absorb them because it's emanating at that time, like the communication. So hopefully I'll be facile enough or good enough to express these kinds of energy.
Yeah, with the type of energies that are available, and with you being a master, I'm sure you'll just be at your peak communicatively. Yeah, I think more reason, folks, to tune in this Sunday. I'll be sending out my broadcast email and text to everyone to remind you, and that's going to be on full moon at full moon meditation. That they'll be able to access if I put that link on
there. Fullmoonmeditation.us.
.us, okay.
It'll be at 7 p.m. on Sunday, June 4. I invite your, just keep an open mind. Is it, I'm here to meditate. I'm giving a, I've been giving talks. Where did I give a talk? I've been doing that really, as I said, I've been doing it for 25 years. So if I have a big crowd, recently, where did I go? I said, I had one group, public, these are public. And I said, I want to raise your hands for those who have meditated. Almost everybody raised hand except one person. He said, oh, you didn't, you have not meditated? Oh, I did only once, but still meditated. So imagine in the olden times, if you can recall, I thought when I was growing up, we were, to me, a meditator is just a yogi or a Buddhist monk. We never knew that. Think about it. So I mentioned this already. I was brought up a Catholic. We were never taught how to meditate. We were taught how to pray. I didn't know what to do.
Think
about it. Have you been taught to meditate?
Well, you know, over the years.
So we realized by meditating, we're closing our eyes. Oh, I thought we were always pray, right? Yes or no? We were always, think about it. I challenged the audience. We were never taught how to meditate. I should be wrong because we have young teens and young adults who have meditated also. But I was telling you for us a little older, we were never taught how to meditate.
Yeah, that is very true. And in so many ways we're taught to pray but not to meditate. And yet meditation can, and I suspect is, an adjunct to prayer. A saying that, you know, the difference between prayer and meditation, I don't know what the exact words that you have utilized. I'll let you.
I remember we went to Assisi, and there was one problem that they had to resolve, and St. Francis of Assisi said, this is a very difficult decision. Let us close our eyes and ask God for his guidance. So in essence, they were meditating because they said, we pray, we ask God for something. Anybody prayed, were in, they never asked for anything. We always pray because, you know, give us this day our daily bread, you know, that kind of thing. We pray to God. But meditation means listening to God. So what St. Francis said, let's gather together and ask for guidance, God's guidance. And they got the answer.
Yeah, prayer is, in a sense, yes, asking. Meditation is the listening piece of it. Master Glenn, before we close, we were having a little discussion earlier, and I know my listeners, I always put a little depiction of what you are specializing in and what your acumen is, from the medical aspect to the meditation, astrology, astronomy, and, of course, the pranic healing. And invariably, I'll get a call or an inquiry. Talk a little bit more about the pranic healing that Master Glenn is engaged in, because more and more people, and I mentioned this earlier at the top of the program, are looking for modalities of wellness that are alternatives, what some would call alternative approaches to wellness and balance. And so many of my listeners know that, you know, I had a, you know, I would say unfortunate, depending on the perspective, because when we have a loss, and I had a a brother-in-law who made a transition, but had been really struggling, so to speak, having a challenge over the last year at least with his health before he ultimately made his transition. And I traveled to Cleveland to be with my family and my sister, who it was his spouse for 50-plus years. They were truly a couple. And in going there and being one to practice pranic healing under your guidance and your center's guidance the last several years, at least, from our discussion, I was utilizing some of the prana just to see where he was. And I don't want to give a person that probably qualified, well, to some extent, to have that discussion in terms of process procedures. But I was trying to apply prana or the energy for my brother. And in what we call scanning, which for our listeners is just kind of a feel of measurement of where a person's energy is, under your guidance, you were saying test and see where his energy is, and his energy was very low in certain areas. And for my listeners, I don't mind saying this, he had a stroke. He had several strokes over the last year or two, and he was recovering from them to the point where he was, walking and talking normal and, but this last 6 months or so, the two strokes that he had took a greater toll and impacted his ability to speak, his motor ability to even walk as well, and even vision. As many listeners, as lay persons know, strokes can do. And so when I went there several weeks ago, I was there most of May in Ohio with my family, my sister, my brother-in-law, as he was in and out, so to speak, in terms of his awareness. But as I began to test, I saw that his energy was low. And trying to infuse some of that prana, I could feel the energy increase. Would you talk a little bit about, just at a high level, I know we just have a little while longer, if you may, just talk about that energy aspect. And I'm saying this because when he made his transition, and we were there, all the way up to his last breath when he went to hospice and we were staying overnight, and I was testing his energy, and it was pretty strong, even though he was physically declining. And from, some of the coursework that I've had under you and some of, the instructors and Master Marilag, we sometimes have, and you've talked about individuals who have passed. I think we used Einstein, and we were able to actually test his energy, but he's passed. So how can an energy exist in an individual who's made a transition? Is that a reasonable question?
We'll break it down. We go in cycles. There's a cycle of life. When we are born, everybody knows that, then become teenager, then we start to become young adults, then mid adults, then we become to older adults, then we go to the autumn of our lives, then we go to our winter of our lives. Your brother was, how old was he?
77.
So in essence, for some of you who are in the 70s or 80s, you could say with honesty that you are in the winter of your life. So what happened just by that one, by that way, the toll of the energy will be less. We mentioned about energy. So as we start to weaken, the body starts to weaken because our energy body is actually also weakening. Remember we talked about we have a blueprint of our energy body. It starts to weaken also. So we cannot live forever. It's just like we just cannot live forever. Some people would like to preserve our physical body, which is not possible. And what happened was that it just have to go. So we have remember we're talking about our signs. So that means our sign, that means we are born on a specific sign, a specific time. And some of you know your time of the birth. So we have a time, an accurate time. So we also, I would tend to believe in an accurate time of our death. Whether you die young or die old or die middle age, I would tend to believe by the science of mathematics or looking at how God looks at it, there is a calculated time that we stay here on earth. Going fast forward, this energy that we have, we have what we call prana. This prana is actually pervading. This prana is, this is what I call the life force. So by and large, you could see a person, some people may have not seen it, but if we have a relative, you see them in a funeral parlor or in a casket, we realize there is no life force. There is no glow. There is no life in them. That is actually the life force. So fast forward, I've spoken to Darryl about healing of his brother. And what happened was that it's a growing field right now that we try to assist people who are in the winter of their lives or end of life, end of days, to a proper way of transitioning. So I spoke to Darryl quickly about his brother, but what happened, he was able to heal him. So what happened was that, and he ultimately passed away, but if I have to look at it, his soul starts to really look at life and let go. You understand? The soul is the one that's letting go also. Not letting go, it's like the body gives up and the soul accepts the soul. So what you have done, I was thinking when we were talking, those days, those 2 weeks that you were with him, you are actually, I don't know if you know what a doula is. A doula is a person that helps a person deliver a baby. They're not a nurse, they're not a midwife, but they're just a coach, like a coach coaching the mother how to deliver a baby. The midwife is there, the nurse is there, the doctor is there, but they're doula. They could be in the hospital, they could be in the home. Why did I say that?
How do you spell it?
D-O-U-L-A. I don't know what language is that. D-O-U-L-A. So if you ask a pregnant woman, do you have, oh, I have a doula. So what we were saying was that you became a doula of death, not doula of birth. You are guiding them. You coach your brother energetically and their family as well. Does it make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it does. And that energy that I was sensing, what is that?
The soul energy is pervasive. The soul energy is very strong. All of our listeners, you know, I could promise one thing, all of us will die. When? We don't know, but we will all pass away. So what happens, some people will say that I told Darryl, we are in the process of writing a book on energetics of death and dying. How to help us in our end of days. So, but you, in some way, you have helped it already by your love for your brother, for love of your sister-in-law and their family. You were helping them. Then what happened, in a certain way, you're helping their soul, because it's, everything is shocking. All of us don't want to die. We want to live as long as we can. Some people say, oh, I'm not scared. We are scared because we don't want to leave our loved ones.
Mm-hmm. That's human nature.
So that's human nature. But what happens, some people say, I'm not scared of dying. Yeah, it's interesting for you to say that. But I think of the grief that your family, oh, you're right, it's different. I'm just thinking of myself. So it's a transition, like what you used the word transition.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been known for religion, the Egyptian Book of the Dead. I remember I lectured this long time ago about the afterlife. It's a reality. So we could apply this energy into this aspect of our life. That's it.
Hmm. Wow. Well, I appreciate that insight and that enlightenment. So there's our soul, it has an energy to it, is what I've heard. I've gotten in summary out of what you just said.
That's what you felt. The strong energy was the soul energy.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Dr. Mendoza, I thank you so much for the time. I'm looking forward to Sunday's full moon meditation. This should be a good one. Many of us have projects that we're working on, we'll be able to meditate on those projects for their wellness and success, and also for our day-to-day activities, knowing that this is the energetic time to be able to benefit with expressing. I would expect that is anywhere from our family, our loved ones, our spouses, our siblings, and the like, all the way in through the workforce and our professional lives. So, folks, again, the website to go to is fullmoonmeditation.us on Sunday at 7 p.m. That's June 4th. And for those of you who haven't, I know most of my listeners have, but for those of you who haven't, it'll truly be a treat that I think you'll walk away and enlightened and changed for productive reasons, individual person. We've been talking with, for those of you I see join late, Dr. Glenn Mendoza, Master Glenn, respectfully referred to internationally, MD, Master Pranic Healer, one of only a handful in the world, author, meditation, astrology, astronomist, specialist, and expert, and truly a gregarious individual. And you'll want to go to the archives if you caught the end of this, because it was truly enlightening experience this evening. Thank you, thank you, thank you again, Master Glenn, for sharing your wisdom. Master Glenn, again, will be available Sunday. That's June 4th at 7 p.m. Go to the website for the Zoom access, fullmoonmeditation.us. You don't need www. In fact, I think you don't want to put that on. You just want to type in on the URL on your computer or your smartphone, Full Moon Meditation. No www, just fullmoonmeditation.us. And he always does a 10 or 15-minute discourse on some subject, probably will be on communication for your wellness and benefit and success and happiness and joy. I don't know if that's going to be it, so don't hold me to that, but he always does some type of a discourse at the beginning of the meditation session, in addition to the instructions on how to benefit most from the meditation itself. And there'll be thousands of people from around the world. So it's truly a good experience, and it's about an hour, not too much time, relatively speaking. And with that said, thank you for tuning in to another edition of Productive News Weekly. Whether you're live listening in or I'm talking into the future and you're in the archives, by the way, are always available at blogtalkradio.com/Renford, R-E-N-F-O-R-D. And you can go back and listen to any of our programs going back several years, and everything is listed there by topic, subject matter, guest, in chronological order. So go and enjoy some of those previous episodes there. With that said, I wish you all well, for you and your loved ones. Tell your loved one that you care about them. I know firsthand just recently from my loved one, tomorrow's not promised. And so every opportunity that you get to tell someone that you care about makes a difference. So that's your homework this weekend and this evening going forward. Let someone know how you feel. You may think they know, but boy, it's something else to show them and give them that hug or handshake and just putting your arm around them, the power of touch. So with that said, God bless you and yours. We're going to close out with, well, we opened up with Strawberry Moon, a Grover Washington cut. And the name of this particular full moon, because most full moons have a name from the farmer's almanac. I can't pronounce that, or I couldn't. Had a little tongue tie there. And the name of this moon is Strawberry Moon. Well, because the farmers typically were planting, harvesting strawberries. As you know, this is strawberry season, folks, on a health tip. Anything that's bright and colorful in terms of fruit, good antioxidants. So stock up, you know, like the squirrels do in the winter, stock up on your blueberries, raspberries, strawberries, any of those berries. Make sure you clean them, wash them well. If you can get organic, you know, that's always good. No pesticide issues. And just enjoy the fruits of the season. But we are under a strawberry moon. And so as we opened up with the Grover Washington cut Strawberry Moon, we're going to close it down with the same Strawberry Moon tune. One of my favorites, in fact. Just a, you know, good old feel-good tune to listen to during the summer. There are several good summer and spring tunes that are good to kind of kick back. Old school, of course. I'm an old school kind of guy, for those of you who don't know. I think most of you do over the years. At any given time, you're going to hear me doing old school. I wish that, you know, we had more old school type music. It doesn't have to be old school in that it's an older tune. But we just don't, you know, as a society, you don't see the radio stations that are playing what they call smooth jazz or jazz. And that's by design, folks. So now you have to go and find it. You just can't, well, radio would seem to be playing out now anyway, but you have to kind of search now if you want to find something that's, you know, mentally soothing, as my dad used to say. You know, that helps to kind of soothe that savage soul. And living in this society, well, as Dr. Mendoza was saying, you know, the soul is, prevails. And so if your soul is riled up, well, imagine what your mind is doing and your physicality is doing, because we are, remember, spiritual beings that just happens to be carrying a physical body. It's not the opposite. We're not physical beings that just happen to be carrying around a spirit or a soul. And that, as I was telling my loved ones, as my brother-in-law made his transition, just know that the energy of his soul will carry on. And if any of you are experiencing any loss of loved ones or friends, that's just a good thing to always keep in mind. It does help, well, at least a little, anytime we have a loss of a loved one. As you know, the human nature, as Dr. Mendoza was saying, the human nature is to feel a sense of loss, if you will, But, you know, when you put things truly in perspective, it does help to know that the real energy of life never goes away. And as we communicate with one another, whether it's your loved ones, your family, friends, we have the ability, if we focus, to communicate on that level, on that spiritual level. When you meet someone even for the first time, and it's as simple, just a quick little template lesson as we close out, it's as simple as focusing, telling yourself literally, I want to communicate with this individual on a spiritual level. Probably most easiest to do it with a loved one, a spouse, girlfriend, boyfriend, or just friend, family member. You can do it right as soon as, you know, you finish listening to this particular program. The next person you see in terms of a family member or talk to, just say to yourself, I'm going to communicate with them on a spiritual level. I believe you might be pleasantly surprised. And if you are and you do try that, drop me a line. In fact, reach out to me. Let me know how you're thinking that we're doing here on Productive News Weekly. You just drop me a line at Productive News. It's just that simple. No spaces. Productive News at Outlook.com. Always, always, always interested in hearing from you and what's on your mind. But do let me know how that worked out for you, communicating on a spiritual level. It's pretty cool. Pretty cool. All right, so that concludes another edition of Productive News Weekly. Here's Strawberry Moon.